We shall now turn to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. My father was a native Gaelic speaker, and though as a sailor in his youth he had travelled the world, and although he was a fluent English speaker, yet to his dying day, the language of his devotions, the language of his prayers, was Gaelic. In school, he learned to read English. And then, when he was converted as a young man, his concern was to be able to read his Gaelic Bible. As you know, or some of you might know, Gaelic is not that easy to read because the spelling is quite difficult. But so he started learning to read his Gaelic Bible, and the chapter that he started with was Hebrews chapter 2. I don't know why that was, but he kept working on Hebrews chapter 2 until he could read it fluently. And then, ever after, in his prayers, he would often quote verses from this chapter. It's full of wonderful verses, such as this verse here. We see Jesus. Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It's a chapter full of rich teaching, teaching which focuses in upon Christ, his person, and his work. Today, we're hoping to remember the Lord's death at his table. We're hoping to eat and drink the symbols of his broken body and shed blood. So it's right for us that in our sermon we should focus on Jesus and focus on what he has done for us. Paul could say, "To me, to live is Jesus." Jesus is everything, he said. "To me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And I hope that in our service today we're able to see Jesus. To see Jesus by faith. Well, first of all, I want you to notice our sad condition by nature. This has always got to be our starting place, because we're born sinners, and we grow up sinners, and we love sin, and we're dead in sin until the Lord converts us and changes us into saints. Every day of our lives we sin, and the sin that we are committing leaves us guilty before God, and therefore we are on the road to a lost eternity, to hell. By nature, under God's wrath and under his curse. Mankind wasn't always like that. When God first created man, he was perfect. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were sinless. They did nothing sinful. They said nothing sinful. They didn't even think a sinful thought to begin with. And it was paradise. Joy and peace and blessedness. Plenty of everything. No pain, no suffering, no sickness, no death. But then, our first parents rebelled against God. God said, in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. God said, there's one tree in the garden, you're not allowed to eat of it. All the other trees, the thousands of trees in the garden, you can eat the fruit of them, but one is marked out, it's mine, you're not allowed to eat of the fruit of it. And in the day that you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. And you remember what our first parents did, how they rebelled, how they listened to Satan, how they, as it were, joined forces with the devil. They came under the banner of the evil one. Satan said, you shall not surely die. You shall be like God. Just listen to me. Obey me and you'll be wonderful. And they obeyed Satan and they were miserable. And instead of becoming like God, they became like the devil. And that's mankind. We're more like the devil than we are like God. And so, from that sin, death came into the world. Sickness, colds, flus, upset stomachs, strokes, dementia, depression, cancer. Death. Death reigns in this world. And everyone that's born into this world is born terminally ill. We all die. It just takes a little bit longer for some to die than for others. But we're all dying because we're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. We're under the wrath and curse of God. Recently, there's been celebrations to mark the sinking of the Iolair 100 years ago. Remember, that was the boat that was taking servicemen back after their 4 years in the war, taking servicemen back to Stornoway, to the island of Lewis. And you remember how that boat on the 1st of January 1919 struck the rocks at the entrance to Stornoway Harbour and sank. And over 200 young men lost their lives. How sad. How sad when things like that happen. When people who've been through so many dangers then perish just a few yards from the shore. Just a few miles from home. Why did God allow it to happen? Why does God allow any accident to happen? Why does God allow people to die? Well, it's surely a warning call to us all. Jesus spoke about those on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and they were killed. And Jesus said, were they sinners above all other men? Is that why the Tower of Siloam fell upon them? Nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Sooner or later, all of us will die. We will have to go to meet our Maker, to give our account to God. That's why we need to be saved. Our sad condition, by birth, by nature, is that we're sinners, dying sinners, perishing sinners, on our way to hell. But then, in the second place, we see God's loving intervention. We see God's loving intervention. We're told here in verse 9 about Jesus, made a little lower than the angels to suffer death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Christ tasting death for us. It reminds us of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a brilliant verse that is. What an amazing verse. What a wonderful proclamation of the character of God, the just and the holy God who hates sin and will punish it. But God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? The most precious thing he had, his own beloved Son, that the Son of God should enter this world, and that the Son of God should be tempted in this world, and that the Son of God should live a holy life in this world, and that the Son of God should be taken by this world and put to death. And Christ died that we might live. He gave his life a ransom for many. The grace of God. That's what's brought before us here. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What is the grace of God? It's God's favor. It's God's love. It's God's concern and compassion for those who are unworthy. God is kind to those who are unkind to him. God is kind to sinners who are rebels against him and his law. The grace of God, the unmerited kindness and favor and mercy of God. Many people have a very hard view of God. They think of him as harsh and cruel. They think of him as the judge, and he is indeed the judge. And sometimes they criticize him, and they say, why did God do this? And why did God allow that? And why did this little child die? And why was there that tsunami? And why was there that accident? And why did that lovely person come to suffer from cancer? It's not fair. God is not fair. You're unjust. But God is fair. God is just. And if God were this very moment to cast every one of us into hell, he would be fair, because we're sinners and we deserve hell. But God, in his great mercy, gives us a Savior. Gives us his Son to save us. And the Son of God died on the cross to make peace between God and man. He's full of grace. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Doesn't give any thrill to God to cast men and women into hell. God is long-suffering. He's slow to wrath and mercy plenteous. You remember when Adam joined forces with Satan and stole the fruit from the tree and ate it? Did God immediately strike him down dead? He died spiritually, yes. But he wasn't struck down dead immediately physically. He was given an opportunity to repent. He was given a day of grace, a day of salvation. God gave him time to repent and make his peace with God. And God gives to you and me opportunity to repent and be converted and turn from our sins and trust in Jesus and be saved. And that's a great blessing. How thankful we should be. Thankful for each day we have in this life. A day of grace, a day to be saved. Thankful for every sermon we hear, for every Christian we know, for every word of God that we read in his word, for every blessing of God that would encourage us to salvation. How thankful we should be. We do some terrible things, and God could very easily strike us down dead at that very moment. We say some terrible things. Maybe we take God's name in vain. Maybe we curse or swear and use God's name as a swear word. Maybe we think blasphemous thoughts. God could destroy us. But he gives us another day in this world. He gives us another invitation. Come unto me. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He loves to save. God commends and recommends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sinners, but Christ died for us. There's love. God's loving intervention. A sinful world, a rebellious world, a world pleasing itself, enjoying itself, doing what it likes and forgetting God. And yet God, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. So we have then our sad condition, and then secondly, God's loving intervention, and now thirdly, consider Jesus. But we see Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God, who shares the same nature as God. He is infinite. He's eternal. He's unchangeable in his being, wisdom, infinite wisdom, infinite power, infinite holiness, infinite goodness, infinite justice, infinite truth. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, equal to the Father in power and glory. Dwelling with the Father and with the Holy Spirit from all eternity in heaven. In the bosom of the Father, and yet he comes from heaven into this world. He comes from that state of bliss and blessedness and happiness into a world of misery and suffering and pain. And he himself suffers so much pain in this world. Born in a stable. A poorer birth than any of you experienced. Laid in a manger. He didn't have a cradle. Unlike you. A refugee having to flee to Egypt to escape persecution. He grew up in poverty. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere that he can call his own house or his own bed. Tempted by Satan, mocked and despised by men and women, the song of vile drunkards, as we were hearing. He was taken and a crown of thorns placed on his head. A mocking robe put about him, a reed put in his hand like a scepter. He was spat on in the face. His beard was plucked. His face was battered and bruised. He was nailed to a cross. And he was laughed at as he agonized and died. Consider Jesus. He was made, as we're told here, a little lower than the angels. Angels are glorious beings. They're higher than us. They're the greatest beings that God has made. Spirit beings, wonderful creatures. But God didn't become an angel. He became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't become an angel to save angels. There's no salvation for angels. Angels who sinned became devils, and devils are being reserved in chains to be suffering in hell forever. Chains of darkness. He took not on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. Made a little lower than the angels, he took human nature. A human body, a human soul, born of a woman, made under the law, duty bound to keep the commandments that God himself had given to man to keep. God doesn't ask us to do something that he wouldn't do himself. He asks us to keep his commandments. And he kept them himself. The Lord Jesus, our great judge, kept the commandments himself. Tempted, just like you and me, but he kept them. He fulfilled them. And then, having lived a perfect life, he suffers death. The sentence that was pronounced on Adam comes on Christ. In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And here's the second Adam. The last Adam, the great Adam, Jesus Christ. And he never ate the forbidden fruit. But he dies. He dies in the place of the first Adam. He dies in our place. He tastes death for every man. He becomes one of us, and bearing our sins, he is nailed to that cross, and he tastes death. He experiences it fully. For every man, for every one of us, for every one of his people, for all his elect. What an amazing thing. You and I, we sin against God. And then God becomes a man and shows us how we are to obey God. And having shown us how to live a perfect life, he then dies for our sins. Dies in our place. He's punished for us. So important to understand the gospel. Jesus punished for me. And this sacrament that we have today, do this, says Jesus, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember the Lord's death. Till he come. Remember his death till he come. Consider Jesus. See Jesus. See him in the broken bread and see him in the wine poured out. And then finally, notice his reward. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Crowned with glory and honor. Faith sees the glory of Christ even in his humiliation. You remember how the shepherds came. The angels announced to them, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And the shepherds came. They came to Bethlehem and they found him. They found Jesus, and what did they do? They worshipped him. You remember the men, the wise men from the east. They came all the way from the east to Jerusalem with gold and silver, gold and frankincense and myrrh And they worshipped him, the King of the Jews. Remember Simeon picking up baby Jesus in the temple, seeing this little baby who couldn't speak. This baby looking very much like any other baby. And he said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He had seen it and he embraced it. The Lord Jesus, his salvation. And similarly Anna also in the temple, praising and worshipping God. You remember how John exclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and to unloose. I baptize you with water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." You remember what John says of Jesus, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. John said, John the Apostle, "We beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." To others, he was as a root out of a dry ground. They saw no beauty in him that they should desire him. But to his own, they beheld his glory. We see Jesus. And there he is, dying on that cross of Calvary. The crown of thorns, the nails in his hands and in his feet. Mocked, ridiculed, despised. Hung among two thieves, among the criminals. Dying and placed in a grave. But declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. God declared him to be his Son, raised him from the dead. He lives today. He has ascended up to heaven. He's seated at God's right hand, and God said, "Sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." He has been crowned as King. King of his people. But more than that, King of the world for the good of his people. King of heaven, King of earth, King over all. He has been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee bowing, every tongue confessing, "You're the Lord, Jesus the Lord, the Exalted One." At one time his face covered with shame and spitting. But now the glory of that radiant face, seated upon the throne of the universe, Jesus is Lord. He's the great King, and he's coming again, and every eye shall see him. When he comes again, it won't be as a baby. And it won't be as a man of sorrows. And it won't be in a state of humiliation. But he will come surrounded by the host of heaven in all his majesty and glory. And his great white throne shall be set up. And the dead shall be raised. And all the nations shall be gathered before him. And he shall separate between the righteous and the wicked, as a man separates between his sheep and the goats. And he shall say to those on his right hand, "Come ye blessed," and to those on his left hand, depart, ye cursed. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, now exalted far above the angels, crowned with glory and with honour. Majesty and power belongs to him. He is Lord. He is King. He rules in heaven today. And he's coming again. He who by the grace of God tasted death for every man. Do this in remembrance of me. Rejoice in the Saviour who loved us and gave himself for us.